So I decided to get into a sermon called Stop Blocking Me. Stop Blocking Me. How many of you know when God wants to set a revival, the enemy is very active? I realize that we must make a very strong statement to the enemy, stop blocking me. I want you to see why I said that, taken from 1 Thessalonians in chapter 2, in verse 14 right up to 18. Perhaps let me read to you verse by verse here to give you a little bit of background what Paul was going through as he wrote this letter. Let me read from verse 14. Are you with me? Everybody ready? Good. For you, brothers and sisters, became imitators of God's churches in Judea, which are in Christ Jesus, which means to say this, that there were converts in Judea. They were Greeks. They were people of Gentiles. However, they live like the converts in Judea. They live like the Christians in Judea. Because the Bible says they became imitators of God's churches in Judea. And then continue from there. He says, you suffered from your own people the same things those churches suffered from the Jews. So they were persecuted by the Jews. And so in verse 15 to 16, you discover that Paul indicated six levels of persecution as, or rather, hindrances that the enemy placed upon them. If you look at verse 15, he says, who killed the Lord Jesus? Paul indicated that these were the charges against the Jews who have done wrong to the people who believe in God. First, they did against Jesus himself by killing him. And the prophets, they also killed the prophets and also drove us out. Drive the people, Paul and his team, away. They displease God, that's the fourth one. And they become hostile to everyone in their effort to keep us from speaking to the Gentiles. Did you see that? To keep us from speaking to the Gentiles so that they may be saved. So in other words, the Jews prevented Christians from carrying the gospel to the Gentiles. In this way, they always heap up their sins to the limit. The wrath of God has come upon them at last. Verse 17. But brothers and sisters, notice this. He addressed them as brothers and sisters. That means this letter was actually describing a relationship that he had with them because there were people that had been brought to the Lord 1 year ago. But brothers and sisters, when we were orphaned, the word orphan here means they were torn away by being separated from you for a short time in person, physically, but not in our mind. Out of our intense longing, we made every effort to see you. Paul is writing to the Thessalonians. We are making efforts after efforts after efforts to see you. For we wanted to come to you, certainly. I, Paul, did again and again. So several times he was working on coming to visit the Thessalonians. And then he says, but Satan blocked our way. But Satan blocked our way. The reason why he wrote that is because there was an accusation against Paul. In fact, many accusations. If you read the book of Thessalonians and the book of Corinthians, there were many accusations. And one of these accusations, why he kept telling them, I wanted to come to you. Because there were super apostles, there were false prophets that went around the church telling them, look, look here, these guys came and brought you and now they left you alone. They have no interest at all, no interest in their hearts to come and see you. Their sudden departure and their failure to return shows that they don't really care about you. And that was the accusation. And so Paul began to write something to defend and said, we tried again and again. It seems like there was a thought that Paul was actually in Corinth or Athens writing this letter to the Thessalonians. You see, he has been constantly assaulted by the people. And so he has been called as a deceiver. He was also called as a money-making schemer. He was accused for being a flatterer, and he was accused for many other things, for teaching the gospel that is not right. So it was so serious that Paul wrote twice. That's why you have 2 Thessalonians as well. There were many interwoven difficulties. There were many mixed up difficulties at the time. Reason behind this is because there were false prophets. There were also false teachings. There were also false claims. So Paul has to write a serious letter to the people. Apart from that, these false prophets and super apostles, they call it, they were creating political riots inside the church. They were inspiring the Gentiles to oppose the Christian faith. Paul, on the other hand, was trying to build a church for the Gentiles. He was trying to spread the gospel. In fact, he used the word Satan. It's a derogatory term to refer to the Jews who were blocking them. So please understand the background. I saw that these false prophets were trying to block Paul from expanding his ministry, was trying to block Paul by accusing him, do the blame game. And at the same time, they were also trying to accuse him for many things and press him to the limit, push him to the limit, press him with all his hard work and make him feel that he's a total failure because the believers will be giving up their faith. That was what the super apostles has been described in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 5 to 15. There were examples of the word super apostles blocking Paul's ministry by destroying his ministerial reputation. I want you to know this is the background. These are the enemies that were trying to stop him, trying to cause him to fail in his ministry. And the Bible says in the book of Corinthians, Paul used the word. He says, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. Disguise himself as an angel of light, coming into the church, the body of Christ, and promoting the false teachings. And I'm very concerned with what is happening in our Christian world today. We may see the glamour of the physical glory, but we do not see the real spiritual glory within the content of the house of God because of what is happening. So Paul has been accused, he has been dissed or criticized severely by the super apostles in order to block his progress. How many of you would answer this question? Have you been blocked? Have you been blocked in certain progress? You know, I do not know whether you understand what it means to be blocked. You know, when you are young and you have big people in front of you in the crowd and you're looking at a parade, you can't see the parade, am I right? Your father have to carry you up onto his shoulder so that you can see above the tall people or big people. You have been blocked. You know, it's hard to see what is happening and you try to get that view. What about social media? I'm good in blocking people who are nuisance to me, especially with a bad language and they post it in a Facebook. I get rid of them. I block them because I don't want to see all those things. I don't want to hear all those things. I block them. And then some of you, you know, you receive nuisance calls, phone calls, yeah? And what do? You block them, right? You block them. Don't even know this number belongs to who, and you just decided to get rid of that and block them. Am I right? And that was what we thought. And found out later on, they keep coming in again. They keep calling you. They somehow have new numbers, and you block again. I've been doing that. It's like my hobby now. I keep blocking them, you know. I hate all this. And then when I begin to see this, there are times and there is a place where we block the sights and certain calls that are not worthy and not good. But then I realize that we as the church, unconsciously, we block the Word of God. The church blocks the Word of God. Little did we realize, if we were to ask this question, have I been going through a journey where God actually blocked my blessing? Why? Sometimes I look up and say, why did God not move on my behalf yet? God, did you care much about this guy who is here on earth? You begin to think of that. And I thought to myself and I said, Lord, help me. Help me as I scroll the scriptures that I may not block them. Every time when I scroll the scriptures, as many of us would do, and we look at them, we skip through. Because this word is not meant for me. This word is not meant for me. This word is not meant. Ah, this word is for my friend. Ah, this word is for my husband. Ah, this word is for my wife. Ah, this word is for nothing to do with me. You understand what I'm talking about? We block them. We block them because we feel that it doesn't belong to me. It's not meant for me. We block those words that are too convicting. We block those words that maybe pastor is pointing finger at me. If you think my finger is pointing at you, praise God. That's a conviction of the Holy Spirit. But if you feel that way, praise God. Hallelujah. Some of you may say, I don't like that message. You block it. You block the message. The worst thing is this. Sometimes people block the speaker. And when you come, you don't even have to sit there to listen. You already block the person. Are you with me? It's very, very dangerous. Because when you block the Word of God, you're blocking the blessings of God. Listen very carefully. The Bible says the Word of God is living. The Word of God is supposed to direct your path. The Word of God is supposed to bring conviction for you to live in righteousness. The Word of God is meant for the grace of God to be channeled into your life. And we block them. We block them. And we say, that's not meant for me. You remember the story of the disciples blocked the children from coming to Jesus? Jesus said, don't stop them. Don't block them. Because the disciples have this assumption that the parents were, you know, were coming with a pride, trying just to get blessing from Jesus only for their children. But then today, we have the other extreme now. We have parents who doesn't even bother to bring their children to receive God. We have parents who says, don't tell my kids what to do. Give them the room, give them the space. They know, slowly they will get to know God. You see, today's Christians take the attitude that they will let their children make up their own mind. I honestly want to say this. If you let your children make up your own mind while they are young, by telling people, don't force that, don't impose on my kids. Listen very carefully. If you don't bring the truth into their lives while they are young, when the moment they touch into the teenage life, listen to me and listen well. Your teenage kids will have 24 hours being influenced outside in the world more than everything that you want to tell them after. If you do not know what it means to teach them now while they are young, don't worry, Pastor, he's only 2 years old. She's only 1 year old. They're still very young. Well, I'm not here to force you, but I'm here to give you the truth. The Bible tells us train the kids while they are young. Amen? He never say train the kids when they get into teenage life. Train the kids while they are young. Because if you want to see a good teenager, teach them while they are young. Because by the time they become a teenager at the age of 16 and 17 and 18 and they become violent, there is no way that you can bend or teach the kid at that age anymore. You can try to do anything you want. He will not change until and unless he encountered Jesus Christ himself. right? You can't say anymore. And if he ever been told by the Lord and yet refused to learn, then let the law enforcers handle them. And that will be the worst. Are you with me? The passage in the Thessalonians and Corinthians tells us that Paul's hope was to spread the gospel, but due to the deception of the enemy, they're trying to push their false teachings into it and stop Paul from spreading the gospel. But Paul is challenging them to a greater faith, to challenge the Christian to a greater faith, to go against all this petty Christianity, this self-centered Christianity. Paul was blasting the super apostles because they were looking for evil rather than looking for good. You know, I realize what is blocking the people from encountering Jesus. What is blocking you from having the encounter with Jesus? There are three simple S's, okay? S's. Don't think otherwise. Three simple ones. The reason why people are really blocking themselves from encountering God is their own selfishness. They disregard others. They disregard. They have no interest in growing. They start to enter into a very dulled atmosphere. And that's why they keep saying it's boring. It's out of their own selfishness. The other one is their self-righteousness. Everything that they do, it's nothing wrong. It's wrong, but nothing wrong, they say. So they justify their wrong every time. You tell them it's wrong, they will somehow find ways to tell you it's not. So when you start to justify and you become self-righteous, you will not encounter the Lord. You block yourself from the presence of God. The third S is that self-sufficient. I don't need your help. I don't need anything. I know I can do it. Just stay far away from me. I know what I can do, and I can go anywhere. I can talk to God myself. Don't have to advise me anything. You know, self-sufficient people always try to live by themselves and they think they are very capable. I'll tell you what, the wolf oftentimes look for these people because the wolves look for one sheep that is outside of the flock. Am I right? So they don't go and attack the whole flock. They only attack the one that is away from the flock, and he will strike. And that will be a disaster. So Paul knew the enemy was challenging against him so that the rest of the people who believes in God can be destroyed. So Paul challenged these people to repent. You are blocking God. But you realize that these super apostles use the entire situation and blame Paul. So now we have the blame game. Listen very carefully. You actually block God's blessing when you start playing the blame game. If you don't take responsibilities of what you have done wrong, you are doing the blame game. Every blame game is going to block God's blessing upon your life. I call them the blame shifters. I remember someone said this many years ago, I am what I am because of my father. Someone blamed the fast food restaurants for making them fat. Some people blame the tobacco companies for giving them cancer. Sometimes they blame the church for lack of spiritual growth. Some of them blame God for the results of poor choices. This actually took place in Exodus chapter 32. You remember Aaron? Aaron actually said this. I paraphrase it in verse 1 to verse 8 and onwards. He says to Moses, hey, you know, these people wanted a God. You know how they are. What was I supposed to do? You were gone up on the mountain. Yeah, Moses, you were there, and I'm here. What am I going to do? And when you were gone up on the mountain, don't blame me. I was all left alone here. In fact, blame the furnace, because you know why? I did what was best. I threw the gold into the furnace and came up the calf. We all blame that. Adam and Eve did the blame shifting. Amen? We had that genetics, the DNA as well. We blame somebody. We blame the parents. We blame the children. We blame somebody for anything that we have done wrong. And the Bible also tells me Korah, Dathan, and Abiram challenged the authority of Moses. In fact, they rejected the authority of Moses. And if you read the book of Numbers, chapter 16, in verse 12, finally, Korah came up, challenged the authority of Moses, and then Moses summoned Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and they said, "We will not come." They said, "We will not come. Isn't it enough that you have brought us up out of the land flowing with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness? And now you also want to lord it over us? Moreover, you haven't brought us into a land flowing with milk and honey, or given us an inheritance of fields and vineyards. Do you want to treat this man like slaves? No, we will not come." So they were making a very audacious challenge against Moses, because he's blaming Moses right now. "You see what happened? You brought us out of Egypt. Now we're standing here in the wilderness. We don't even have that land yet. And yet you dare to lord over us. You dare to be our boss." We do the blame game. And that's where the blessing stopped flowing. You blame for the lack of giftedness. But the truth is, you lack of growth. You blame for the lack of understanding. But the truth is, you lack of learning. You blame for the lack of excitement. The truth is, your lack of desire. This is something that I see that is happening in our situation, where people blame somebody and yet they expect God to bless them. You won't. You know why families don't get the blessing? Because somebody is blaming one another. God will not bless when there is a blame game inside. No way. Because the Lord says, exalt one another, bless one another, encourage one another. And that is exactly what I see, why revival cannot take place, because the body of Christ are trying to blame somebody. We need to wake up from that. Somebody say amen. And at the same time, I noticed Paul's situation. These guys were pushing him to the limit. Paul was pushed to the limit by all these false teachers and preachers. He knew that they were trying to stop him from spreading the good news. So they came up with all kinds of obstructions, all kinds of words that Paul did not say, or trying to misinterpret Paul's actions by telling people this is who he is. And so he had to defend himself. You see, sometimes I look at it, a lot of people are becoming less effective in their walk with God, because we have been pushed to the limit by accusations that we are not good enough. We are bad. We are evil. We are stupid. We are too small. You're too young. You don't understand. So we start to make all these accusations, pushing the person right to the limit and making them feel that they are lousy and do not know what to do. That's what they tried to do with Paul. And in their head was this: if only I can slow Paul down. If only I can press him right down, he will never be effective. We are trying to block a possible life from experiencing a miracle. We were just one step to the miracle. We were just one step to a revival for our lives. But then we will press right to the end because we accepted what they say. Church, Paul wants the gospel to go beyond our limitation. But we have a problem, church. That's what Paul sees. He sees a church that has been blocking the gospel by not reaching to others. Do you know why the church has been blocked from having the miraculous, the revival of people coming to the house of God? Because we stopped sharing the good news. We stop sharing the good news and we block the possible revival from entering the house. We refuse to bless these people by bringing the good news. Do you know blessing was meant to go beyond where it was? Look at Abraham. Abraham was told to be a blessing. What did God say to Abraham? Get out of your country. Am I right or not? Praise God. Some of us literally did that, right? And I've spoken to some Asians. When they got out of the country, they came here, they say, it's time for retirement. I say, no. God has taken us out from where we were to a place where the gospel must continue. He says, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Blessing was meant to go beyond, not meant to be kept within. In fact, in Genesis chapter 22, that one I just read was Genesis 12. But Genesis 22 says this, the Lord told Abraham that in blessing, I will bless you, and in multiplying, I will multiply your descendants like the stars of the heavens and like the sand of the sea on the seashore, and your seed, your heir, will possess the gates of his enemies. You see, I notice when it comes to the blessing of God, God actually used the word multiply. The Lord does not only bless, but he actually multiplies. This is what I see. Every blessing is the grace of God. It's the grace of God. Every blessing that God gives to you, it was meant to be extended. That's why the word beyond is so important to us. The word beyond. Only when you go beyond the limitation, your miracle is ready to take place. Do you understand what I'm saying? Only when you are ready to go beyond your limitation. Some of us, we do only where we are. We do not want to go beyond that limitation. For me, I will go out of my way to bless others. That's exactly what God would do and show us the miracle. You want to see miracle? Get ready to go beyond your way, beyond your limitation. Sometimes we are so restrictive. We say, oh, this is going out of my way. It's inconvenient. But you will lose out the miracle. I remember a story of this guy. He was just driving, and then all of a sudden there was this Holy Spirit encounter that he had in the car. How many of you know that you can have the Holy Spirit encounter in the car? And as he was driving, the Lord says, go to the grocery shop and purchase some of these goods. And the Lord listed down the goods. Literally listed down the goods. Praise God. So he went, he stopped. He doesn't even know, Lord, what is it that you want? So he went in the shop and he collected 2 bags of groceries. And then he put in the car and says, Lord, what do you want me to do? Look across the other street. And so he went over to the other street and he said, yep, I saw that house, Lord. I want you to give to this person. And God specifically mentioned the person's name happened to be a lady. And he said, but God, this is funny. I'm going to the house and I'm meeting up this lady, and what am I supposed to do? Give her the grocery? She will be thinking I'm a wacko. And the Lord says, do what I told you to do. It was inconvenient. So he went. He knocked at the door, rang the bell, and a frail lady opened the door. And then when he says, I do not know who you are, but I just want you to know my God spoke to me to give you this. And she started to weep. And while she was weeping, he could literally hear a cry of a baby in the other room. She was crying because her husband left her. She has no money to buy goods. And she was all by herself for about 1 week plus. She doesn't know where to get the food. And so this man brought in the food. It's like an angel answered her need. Somebody say amen. You see, you want to see miracle? That's the way it should be. Get out of our convenience. walk against our limitations. And you will see the miracle that somebody else will experience. You know, the Bible tells me in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 25, listen to this. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. That is in the NIV, but I like the NKJV. He says this. The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. You know what is actually blocking the miracle from taking place? It's our belief system. Our belief system. Things that you believe that stop us. Do you believe that God is a miracle-working God? Do you believe that God is able to do the impossible and make it possible? Do you believe that God is bigger than your problems? Do you believe that God is a God who comforts us every time when we go through problems? Do you believe that God is there for you when you are alone? Do you believe that His presence is right in that room when you thought there is no one else? Do you believe that? Do you believe that the Almighty God, who is able to break open the Red Sea, is there to help you with your problems, no matter how small it may be? Do you believe that? It's our belief system that is stopping us. It's our belief system that is blocking us from reaching out to God and experience the miracle of God. It's our belief system. Because the more you turn around and look at all the negative things, you only talk about, oh, this is not good, this is not right, this is not possible, I'm hurt, I'm devastated. But you turn around and see, oh my God, there is a living God, there is a great power, there is a fire of the Holy Ghost that's going to consume me. There is a fire of His anointing that will break my chain. Did you see that? What is blocking is when you are here looking at all this nasty stuff. But when you begin to look at this place and have the idea of what it means to believe in God, you're going to see the miracle for your life. That's the miracle working God. No one is blocking you. God is not blocking you. By the way, sometimes, most of the time, Satan is not blocking you. You block yourself. You block yourself. I want to help you to see that this area, you know, when you block God from fulfilling His plans, you are not able to experience what is possible for you. I want you to experience God's revival. Am I talking to somebody? Come on. Am I talking to somebody that wants revival? Am I talking to somebody that this message says to you, don't block. Stop blocking me. Tell yourself, stop blocking me. Tell yourself. Look at yourself in the mirror and say, stop blocking me. Because there are times in our hearts we block the miracle of God. You see, we also need to realize this, that many a time we do not know how to differentiate between blocking and stopping. They are two complete different line of action. You see, the plan of God cannot be stopped. Somebody say amen. You can't stop the plan of God, but you can block it. You can block it. And at the same time, the power of God cannot be stopped, but you can block it. You can block God's plan upon your life with your hardened heart. You can block God's plan for your family with the disobedience in your own heart, with your attitude that is selfish, self-sufficient, self-righteous. Do you know Emperor Nero tried to stop Jesus Christ's people from spreading the gospel, but he failed. Instead, the people of God grew stronger. The Holy Spirit cannot be stopped. But you can block him. You can block him by not obeying. You can. But remember, you cannot stop God, but you will block all of them at your own detriment. You will only suffer the consequence, nobody else. So stop blocking me. That's what you're going to say to yourself. Stop blocking me. You remember this? This is all about Easter, but this is a beautiful Easter picture. When the authorities, the centurion soldiers, they closed the tomb with the stone. Am I right now? The big, big, gigantic boulder. And they thought they could stop Jesus from rising up. You can't stop that. You may try to block it, But you can't stop that. And the history tells me that Jesus rose again and he walked out of that tomb. Somebody say amen. That is the power of God. You can't stop the power of God. You may try to block it, but it's always to your own detriment. Don't do that. There are many elements that block us, by the way. I want you to know that many a time we block God that deprive us from all his miracles. And some of these is because we refuse to follow God's precise word. We actually block God because we refuse to hear and listen. We refuse to share the good news to somebody else. You know, you thought you are right, but you can walk out of this place to your own detriment without getting this miracle. Some of us, we are doubtful. We block God with all our doubts due to the lack of faith. We block him from all the miracles. We were not sure. Are you sure, God, you're real with these things? Are you sure you're real with my life? Are you sure? You know, I've gone through with all these bad experiences in my life with this church or that pastor or this leader or this so-called Christian friends. I've gone through all these bad experiences. Are you sure you are real? How many of you know none of these people will determine the reality of God? The reality of God is who he is. The failure of the church, the failure of man does not determine the failure of God. Some of us here, due to this lack of faith, we block God. Some of us, we are fearful to pray. We are so fearful to pray. Pastor, I don't think I want to pray because I pray in case he dies. If I were to pray, Pastor, I do not know whether he will get even more sick. Just imagine Leonard comes with his leg pain and says, oh, Pastor, I got a leg pain. I'm just waiting for people to say, can you please pray for me? Because I don't pray until somebody asks. Somebody tells me. If you look very carefully, those who ask, they receive. Amen? Amen. I will pray. But are you willing to ask? Some of you did not ask. If we pray, maybe my leg get worse. Yeah? If one leg pray, after Leonard, both leg got pain. Transference of pain over the other leg. Huh? Isn't it? We will not stop praying. But do you have the faith to believe that Jesus is able to hear you? Remember, even James says, if you are sick, get all the elders to come. Hey, put oil on them and pray. Amen. But did the church ask? They go through the pain themselves. Did you ask when you go through some pain? Don't trouble Pastor. He's so busy. So busy. Why trouble Pastor? Eh? Praise God. If you ask me to drink coffee, I will always make myself available. So why is it that when you have a prayer need, I will not make myself available. Amen? And sometimes it may not be just a pastor. Yeah, pastor is busy. Busy eating. You can also get somebody else. Amen? You can call Malcolm. You can call Sean. You know, all these people. Chris, Michael. Pray. Pray. Amen? Praise the Lord. We are looking at the possible miracle by not limiting to one man. We are looking at the possible of miracle by looking unto the living God. Amen? So I just want you to be rest assured that God is going to do that work in our life. So don't be afraid to pray. Don't be afraid. All right? If you are at home and at 2 a.m., right, and you're having fever, what do? You pray. Amen? Don't call my number. Hallelujah. 2 a.m., you pray. Unless you're dying, yeah? If your house at 2 a.m., suddenly you heard somebody is trying to break in, you know? Say, Michael Hong, if your house, somebody is trying to break in, and you know your children are there, your wife is there, you know, oh, man, I saw four or five people coming and approach my house. What do you do? Call Ezra. That's right. You see, that's a body ministry. Right? Call Ezra. You see, you guys are so honored and privileged to stay so near together. You call Ezra, you call Raj, you call Crystal, you call... Yeah. You just call them, right? They are there. Amen? Don't be afraid. If there's four or five people, you are Ezra, there are already five people. Praise God. And then he will wake up, Lord, come on, let's take a stick. Michael Hong needs help. Ah. And then he bring eight of his children. The enemy is defeated. Hallelujah. Amen. Some of us, we are so afraid to pray. Some of us, we are so self-sufficient. We are so afraid to even look unto God for His grace. And sometimes because we are not willing to be taught, and we stop, we block. If we are not easily taught by God, we block the possible miracle. But I have a good news today to tell you this. Let us unblock. Let us unblock the wellspring of living power. Somebody say amen. Let us unblock the joy that is our strength today. Let us unblock the forgiveness that we should be releasing into the lives of people in Jesus' name. Let us unblock the grace of God that is coming down and to be poured down into your life to give you the favor and the strength to overcome your challenges. Let us unblock that with the right attitude to honor Him, to love Him, and to serve Him. Let us unblock with the right attitude to serve our children, to serve our family. Let us unblock that so that we can see multiplication, we can see growth, we can see the blessings of God ready to flood into the family, the society of believers who can unblock and say, yes, Lord, I'm ready for the release. If you are believing that today, I want you to give Him praise in Jesus' name. Come on, give Him praise. If you look at Malachi, let us learn to unblock our tithing and our giving. Let us unblock that. Because we live in a natural society where it is hard to release to God's kingdom. But Malachi chapter 3 verse 10 says this: bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, that there may be blessing in my house, that there may be grace and love and all the things that God in store for us in His house. And He says, try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you, the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And Malachi 3 verse 12 went on to say, and all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Can I say this to you? When you block your giving, don't expect God's blessing. Can I say this to you? When you block the giving, you will not see the miracle and the supernatural that was meant for you. Can you also imagine with me, every single soul in the house of God gives tithes and givings to the Lord? I guarantee you that the house will be so full of His supply to bring about more things into the work of God in this society. There will be no shortage of supply. There is no limit what God can do in the church if people were to unblock their giving. Unblock the sharing of the good news, brothers and sisters. Unblock it. You remember Jonah was trying to block God from reaching the people of Nineveh. And he was thrown into the sea, swallowed by the fish. But brothers and sisters in the Lord, we know the story, we know the history, and we have the evidence to prove that every word that Jonah said, it was fulfilled. You see, if we want to see salvation coming upon people's home, we must not miss out sharing the good news. And I want you to know one thing. God is saying to all of us here that He wants to break your barriers that is inside of you. He wants to break the limitations of your faith. He wants to break the fear that is right in your spirit, that you are afraid. The more you are afraid, you block God from doing what He wants to do. God is trying to break the restrictions. He's trying to push out the boundaries. He doesn't want you to be restricted by your environment. He wants you to get out and be free to do the work that He has in store for you. Sometimes we are not able to do more for Jesus Christ because there is certain restriction in your spirit. Maybe you heard those words that are negative and it stays with you for a long time. And I say that before, break that in the name of Jesus. God wants to put the potentials in your life. He wants to build something in your spirit that you never thought that you can do. But God says, I will raise you up. I will shape you. I will design you for my call. Potentials. The question is, are you still blocking God? These are the things that He wants to do in your life. These are the things that He wants you to get out and be able to further the gospel, be able to see possible miracles in your ministry, in your life, in your call, in your family. More miracles, more miracles, more miracles. You know why I say that? Because my God is a miracle working God. Are you there? I'm not saying this because I have to say, because I know, I believe who my God is. He's a God of all possibility. We just need to do our part and not be limited by the situation, not be restricted by the situation in our hearts, in our lives. Are you still blocking God? Or are you unblocking the power of God that is working in your life today? I want to close with this simple factual statement or illustration. Thompson Reservoir is the largest of Melbourne's reservoirs. Thompson supplies Sylvan Reservoir via Upper Yarra Reservoir, which distributes water throughout the Melbourne metropolitan area. And it was designed to serve the city of 5 million people based on the rainfall and the water use at the time it was proposed in 1968. The water is continuously released from Thompson Reservoir to maintain healthy flows in the Thompson River. Now, what intrigued me was this. It has a capacity of 1.068 billion liters that makes up about 60% of Melbourne's total storage capacity. I want you to imagine with me, what if that reservoir is blocked? The blessings that will serve the city of 5 million people will never happen. More lives will be devastated, destroyed. Trauma will fill the air. Imagine the severity and the gravity of the situation. It's the same thing with you. There's so much of this capacity within you that needs to be released. But what if it is blocked? There's so much capacity from heaven above. The kingdom of God is about to release the blessing. But what if it is blocked by our attitude? Likewise, brothers and sisters, how many of us today will miss God's golden opportunities and blessings when you and I fail to sow the seed of faith to honor God? You know, I read this before, James chapter 1, verse 6 to 7. He says, but when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind, that person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. In my 30 plus over years of pastoring, I've seen many people struggle. They struggle with purpose, and they do not know how to handle the difficult situation that life throws at them. It's definitely heartbreaking as they forget who they are in Christ. Once the realization is made that you have authority to cut off the lies and have dominion over the chaos and all these muddy lies, and it can be replaced with clarity, you can unblock God's possibility over your lives. How do you go about with that? Proverbs 16 verse 3 tells me, commit your work to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. Many of us today are blocking because we are afraid. We doubt it because you have been pressed down. You've been pushed to the limit by your circumstances. Revival is right at the doorstep, but you never seem to open that door because you're afraid to get out. You're afraid because there is some kind of a compulsive disorder in your head. Sometimes you have such a great fear because of all the bad and nasty experiences. Sometimes you are afraid because of those ugly words. But my challenge to you is, the revival is right there. Get ready. Amen. Get ready. You stop blocking yourself. Stop blocking yourself. And you can experience it. How many of you believe that? Stop blocking yourself. Stop pushing yourself to the limit. Stop deceiving yourself and saying it cannot be done. Stop looking at the negativity and saying, I have gone through so much hurt, so much pain. But to turn around and see, oh my, God is a God of possibility. God is a miracle working God. God is a God who is going to rain down His blessings upon you. How many of you are excited to receive that? If you see what God can do, can you see what God can do? Can you actually see what God can do? Come on, am I serving an almighty God? Is the church serving an almighty God? Come on, we need you to stop blocking yourself. Are you there? Give Him praise and give Him glory. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. God ordained His church to be liberated. Church was never meant to exist with bondages. Church meant to exist with liberation and with the liberation of the Holy Spirit. But it's because the people who comes in, they come in all sorts of walks of life, all sorts of experiences, all sorts of the disasters that they brought along. That's when God says, I will deliver them. Amen. Because why? The church was never designed to be in bondage. The people outside, yes, they are in bondage, but the church is designed to be liberated. That is why we call the body of Christ. Amen?
You've been listening to Pastor Calvin Sim from Life Solutions Christian Church. For more information, please feel free to contact us by phone on 0410-985-432. Or find us online at www.lifesolution.org.au.